This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome in and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is the headliner of the day, although I feel like every freaking segment could have been a headline today. All right, like I said, it's always a loaded show. Nebraska football. I'm starting to see. I'm like, oh my God, the offseason Kool-Aid is strong with this one. Is it fair to say that Nebraska football is a college football playoff dark horse? Now, I've got things here in front of me. Oh, before I do this, is there anything from the text line, Jake, before we dive into this, anything from the text line real quick?
Just a shout out. Some people love the Tim Miles interview. Bolt says great interview. Was really hoping Tim would have gotten it done here off of YouTube, off the text line. Hand and Beans says Mulberry Barbecue has the best smoked turkey in town. JP says Tim Miles, a class act. And then I also wanted just to bring up, because I just saw it, Victor Wembanyama now out for the season for the Spurs. So unfortunately, they didn't get to test that pairing with De'Aaron Fox for too long.
All right. Speedy recovery to my man there. Your initial reaction before I get into any of this stuff. Nebraska football, a college football playoff dark horse. You have to have seen some of these articles, too. What's your reaction off the top, Jake?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair. Again, I think a lot of nationally, if you just say, okay, Dylan Raiola, that's at least a name that people kind of see. Matt Rhule, this is about the time where he usually takes his programs to the next level. And then, you know, bringing in Dana Holgorsen as your offensive coordinator, that's going to get a lot of eyeballs. So I think that it does make sense from a national approach to say, hey, this team's got a lot kind of moving in the right direction, throwing the transfer portal class, which was highly ranked. And you've got reason to believe there. So I get it. I think Nebraska probably should be considered a dark horse for the playoff. And I think that's what the expect. I don't want to say playoff expectations. That's what the coaches are kind of putting on themselves, though. And I think once we kind of settle in, I think Nebraska is going to be near that top 25. And again, with the playoff, once you're in that top 25 or in that range, well, then you're just a few teams away from being in the playoff discussion. So I it doesn't shock me. I think it makes sense. So I hope obviously that it comes to fruition or comes close to it.
All right, I'm going to go through a list of the other across the country college football playoff dark horses that are being mentioned right now. And you can say, yes, seems like a dark horse team, or no. And anything can happen. Just look at freaking Indiana next year. But all right, right off the top of your dome, real quick, Florida.
No.
Illinois.
Well, if Indiana could do it, I suppose. Yes.
Texas A&M.
Yes.
The answer is, yeah, they got the talent. Yeah. And year two under the new head coach. Georgia Tech. Number one rushing team from the ACC, and their quarterback is back.
Yeah, I know. I love Haynes King, but I think I bet with them a few times last year, and they burned me. So I'm going to go ahead and say
vengeance.
No.
Yeah. Vengeance. I'm going to answer this one. Auburn, no. Texas Tech. And keep in mind, one of their big donors just sold their company for over $4 billion, and they coincidentally have the number one transfer portal class in the country. So Texas Tech.
Well, I think the biggest thing now is Garrett McGuire's their running backs coach. But
you just couldn't let that one lie, could you? Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it's the Big 12. Yeah, I don't look at last year where the top teams that were predicting the Big 12 finished last, the bottom teams finished first. Absolutely. Anything can happen to the Big 12.
I love that you pointed that out, because that's a big factor in whether they're going to make it. All right. Oklahoma. I'm going to say no. The SEC is a big part of this. They're struggling in so many areas right now. They've lost so many players. They're nowhere near the top of the transfer portal charts. Their recruiting is where it's been, but nothing great. They have a lot to figure out. But what do you say?
Yeah, they feel closer to that their head coach will get fired than making that jump. I did notice they added Kevin Wilson as an analyst. I always liked Kevin Wilson. That's not a huge role, though, for him. So I would say, and obviously got a new quarterback, but I would say no.
All right, UNLV, I'll answer this. Dan Mullen, I don't know if you knew this. You probably did. New head coach for UNLV. They were very strong last year. The G5 spot is wide open to anybody. I assume you're going to say yes, too.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Nebraska is the next one on this. And the last one on this list. So here's what this list has to say about Nebraska. If Matt Rule's turnaround train continues, Nebraska should be a contender for the college football playoff in 2025. Rule has a proven track record, having previously led both Baylor and Temple to double-digit wins by year three. The foundation is set for the Huskers to make a significant leap thanks to an impressive transfer portal haul, number five in the country, necessary coaching staff adjustments, and star quarterback Dylan Raiola. Nebraska projects to have one of the easiest schedules in the Big Ten, too. There's that again, which is another key factor that could pave a way for a playoff push. All right, I'm going to briefly... So the top three from the Big Ten, dark horses in the college football playoff contention right now, are number one, Nebraska, number two, USC, USC always has the talent. They're just in disarray right now. Their defense is better. Lincoln Riley is crying because people are transferring out so much. They lost their top six pass catchers. Their starting quarterback, although Maeva is back, the guy who started at the end of the year, their starting quarterback for the first eight games of the year transferred out. To me, they're like Oklahoma. Yeah, the talent's always there. The potential is always there. They just got too much to figure out. And there's Illinois. And to your point, if Indiana can do it, why can't Illinois do it? Luke Altmaier is back. You saw 2 years ago, he was a turnover machine. Last year, you saw why he was a four-star coming out of high school. You project him to be even better next year. All right. So as I kind of look at a few certain things here, when you look at the skill guys that we now have, there is absolute potential with Holgorsen calling the plays and an experienced quarterback. With the skill guys that we have, I mean, Ja'Cory Barney, behind Jeremiah Smith, was the number two overall rated true freshman wide receiver in America last year. And right now, people are looking at him like he's the third or fourth best receiver on the team with Nisaiah Hunter and Dane Key. There's one other. Who am I missing from the transfer portal? There's a third
Hardly
one.
Gilmore.
Hardly Gilmore. Then you got Ja'Cory Barney. We've talked about the tight end position a ton. All right, with Lindenmeyer and Harburg, and Nelson's going to be coming back off injury, but he should be good by the fall. There's lots of guys at tight end. You know, the interior of the offensive line should be solid now. I pulled up this thing that was ranking I'll just read here, Nebraska football, ranking the 16 Husker transfer portal additions. Number one, Rocco Spindler. Number two, Elijah Pritchett. Number three, Dane Key. Number four, Dawson McCullough.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like, it's there. My question on offense is, what becomes of our tackles? Does Elijah Pritchett find consistency, potentially greatness? Can we start with consistency? All right. You look at who is it that started as a freshman last year, left tackle for us? I'm blanking.
Gunnar Gatula.
Equally very talented. Those are two NFL-type talent guys at offensive tackle that have yet to find consistency. Now, Gunner's a younger guy. He was a freshman last year. He's a guy I think is going to be a Sunday player one day. Elijah Pritchett has the potential to be a top five draft pick. It could also go the other way if he doesn't find more consistency. I don't know what's going to happen with the tackles. You look defensively. How do you not get excited about the two guys that are going to be the main pass rushers? All right, when you look at Dawson McCullough, who was an all-Big Ten type performer as a true freshman at Indiana, he goes to Oklahoma, gets banged up a little bit, has different roles. He can be moved all over the place. He can be an open field tackler. He can cover people. He can rush the passer. Matt Rule said he's going to rush the passer. All right, you look at Williams and Worry. I've told you, when I watched this high school film, I didn't need the arrow to point. Hey, I don't need the arrow. I can see him. They look like boys. He looks like a man. Now, we'll see what actually happens on the field. All right, redshirted last year, which is a less and less common thing to do for true freshmen. Now he's here. But you think about the potential coming off the edge of Dawson McCullough, Nisaiah Hunter, with the skill guys we got, the interior offensive linemen that are there as well. How do the tackles play on offense is the question mark. I do think I legit think we're going to be a lot better on special teams. Part of that is you kind of, there's nowhere else to go but up with all due respect. But with Eckler coming in, we have a long snapper. We got a solid punter. Buscini was good last year, but a solid punter and two. All right. John Hall, Tristan Alvano, two really good potential kickers going to battle it out. And Hall made 8 straight kicks last year. And the only reason he missed that Iowa kick was because of the snap. The snap and hold were ugly. Otherwise, it might have been 9 in a row. Maybe we beat Iowa. Little things like that add up quickly. The question for me, are the second level of our defense is insanely talented, insanely athletic with McGahee and Shavers. You bring in Marquez Watson-Trent, who's a tackling machine. The secondary has a ton of experience. Zaire Wright is a guy. How do you not like him? How do you not love a guy like that? Now, our secondary, are they going to play better? They didn't play great last year. They were the definition of inconsistent, but they've got the most amount of experience of any position group on the team. The linebackers are very inexperienced as a whole. Marquez Watson-Trent, Vincent started in the bowl game, Shavers, but the talent, the athleticism is as good as we've had. I mean, I'm going to go back 20 to 30 years as far as pure athleticism. All right. The question is the D-line. I know we brought in Jalen George. I know we brought in Gabe Moore. We'll see how those guys work. I mean, Gabe, he's got 4 years of eligibility left. He's a young guy. You look at his high school stats, you look at his high school film, it's pretty impressive. Redshirted at Mississippi State, but we have zero returning starting experience outside of Cam Lenhart. Did he start a game last year? I don't think he started a game last year. He did as a true freshman and actually played well. All right, so he can do it, but didn't do it last year. Doesn't mean he can't do it because he did it as a true freshman, so why can't he do it 2 years later? But we have, who's going to be the depth? I mean, we can throw names out there, but nobody's proven is all I'm saying. Nobody's proven. Keona Davis is back. That's exciting. What's he going to do this year? His future is insanely bright. What's he going to do now? That's the question. So I think it's fair to say college football playoff dark horse. I have a personal attachment to the term dark horse. It's something the strength staff said to me when I came in. So when I came in, you know, I was told I wasn't good enough to play at Nebraska. I was asked to walk on at first, and they offered me last minute. And, you know, when I came in, of the four defensive linemen that were coming in my class, I was ranked the fourth best. There was a particular writer who I see all the time, and at some point I'll bring it up to him, or I probably won't. I mean, I see him all the time, who wrote that I was too slow, unathletic, and have to go play on the offensive line. That's not a shot at offensive linemen. I'll give you his name, and no lineman can go after him at some point if you want. That's just, it is what it is. The other DN that came into my class, number 7 in the country, just up the street, turned out to be a really good player, but I was an afterthought. And you never know what's going to happen. So my point is, with all these question marks up front, I guarantee there's some surprises. I guarantee there's good ones. Maybe there's people that surprise us because they need more time to develop. I think it's fair to say college football playoff dark horse. Oh, I kind of forgot to explain how the dark horse thing came in with me. So I'm in the weight room one day. I love the weight room. Love to work out. And I'm just spending a bunch of time in the weight room. I'd get the workout sheet. I'd do it. To me, that was the bare minimum of what you do. And now I go do a bunch of other stuff because that's, in my mind, how I get my edge, how I catch up to people, how I pass people. And Chad Wade, who's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and has been for a long time, was an assistant strength coach, comes up to me and he says, "You're our dark horse." I thought he was insulting me. I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? You want to fight? I didn't say you want to fight, but I was like, what does that mean? That sounds like insulting. He goes, no. He goes, it means you're the guy nobody's talking about that's going to surprise people the most. And so the term dark horse resonates with me specifically because I obviously never forgot that conversation. So I think it's fair to say the term dark horse. It doesn't put a level of expectations. It puts a level of possibility. I don't expect us to be in the college football playoff. I don't expect us to win more than 8 games. It doesn't mean we can't, and it doesn't mean I'd be shocked. It means the possibility is there, okay, more than most people would expect it to be. Indiana last year wouldn't have even been a dark horse. SMU, I thought they were going to get killed in the ACC. They played Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get to see what SMU looks like versus an ACC opponent, and they got dominated that game. Then they come out, and they almost win the ACC conference. Teams can change, and rosters can change, and coaches can change, and things can change and turn over so fast like we've never seen it before. To me, I think the term dark horse is fair because it highlights the potential. Hey, it's there. I'm not going to expect it, though. Like, if we won 8 games next year and went to a good bowl game and played well, maybe win the bowl game, I'd say, hey, that's good progress. Let's keep going in that direction. If we do anything beyond that, it's cream cheese to me. And that would be phenomenal. Does that kind of make sense how I explain the difference and why I'm okay with it? Because my first thought was, oh, over the top Kool-Aid. I hate this. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, they're not saying they expect it. They're saying, hey, keep your eye out. The possibility is there. But if we don't get better at the little things, which is why I highlighted special teams, we're going to be better at little things than special teams. The question is, can we dominate Iowa and then actually win the game? Can we dominate Illinois in the first half and then make coaching adjustments when they do in the second half because they're pretty freaking good coaches and actually win the game? Can we hit the open tight end in the goal line? Can we snap the ball properly and hit the 38-yard field goal to beat Illinois? Can we do those little things? Because the talent's going to be there. The little things, consistency is what we have sucked at for so long. And that is the question mark to me. That comes back to coaching, which is why I highlight the coordinators so much, because I think that's going to be a big difference maker. Okay, we'll see how John Butler does on defense. The resume is there. But to me, it's those little things combined with everything else I've already highlighted. I don't know. Does that all kind of make sense, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, you kind of pointed out even the special teams, a couple different field goals, Illinois, Iowa. You could have had a 9-win team last year. But I agree with you. You know, I would be full on. Like, if there's a lot of reasons that we're sitting out, it's like, well, then why are they a dark horse if you think they're going to be really good? It's still those questions to me among the front lines, offensive line, defensive line. In the Big Ten, that's a big deal.
Dude, in the Big Ten, it's like everything.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we come back. Shedeur Sanders going to be the number one pick? Cam Ward going to be the number one pick? You want to hear the two highest rated quarterbacks in this year's upcoming draft openly talking trash to each other? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.